Eric Hutschmidt. And during the first half, we were talking about, well, we even quoted from the Bible about how it was the Jews that were persecuting and scaring the Christians, the ones that were following Christ after he died. We were talking about a little bit about 9/11. We were talking about some of the people that are infiltrating the truth movement. We were talking about the USS Liberty. So, Eric, I'd like to ask you a little bit more before we get to 9/11 about the truth movement. Now, I know they have totally infiltrated the Minutemen and most of these militia groups. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that, yeah, they're in control of almost all of the groups. And it makes you wonder, you know, how many of them are there, and do any of these people even have jobs? They're everywhere, in every organization, political organizations, charities, truth yes. groups, veterans groups, peace groups. They're all over the place. And if you underestimate it, this is where I think they're getting away with it. People just have trouble with this. But everywhere you look, you'll see this. This is why none of the peace groups are trying to stop the war by pointing out 9/11 as a false flag operation. That's what I discovered when I first put my book out. There was a demonstration of some sort out here in my city. And I thought, oh, this would be a perfect place to show people my book, because I had just finished it and I just got it published. And so I go down there and start talking to some of the people that were supposedly like the leaders of this peace group that wanted the war stop. And you tell them, well, if you want the war stop, why don't you show how the cause of the war is false? You know, their attitude is like, oh, that doesn't interest us. That's not our concern. We don't care about 9/11. We just want to stop the war. They make excuses like that. We want to stop the war, but we don't want to talk about how it's all a fraud. We don't want to expose right. the fraud. We just want to stop it. And that's when you realize there's something wrong here. These either the leaders of the movement are just total idiots, or they're part of the crime network that gave us 9/11 in the first place. You can't come to any other conclusion. And in fact, I even wrote an article about it. You know, they're either idiots or they're infiltrators. And right. so you'll see this everywhere. And the problem people have is that they dismiss this. They are so accustomed to having stupid leaders. You see this with politics. They are so accustomed to just criticizing their government that when they right. encounter a crummy sheriff or a crummy veterans group leader, they think, oh, he's just corrupt. They don't think, wait a minute, what are we following a corrupt leader for? Or what are we right. following an idiot for? If the sheriff is an idiot, why is he a sheriff? If you're following an idiot at your veterans group, why are you doing that? You know, people have right. to start raising their standards for leadership. But this might be one of the other advantages to constantly putting incompetent people in government positions, is that we just get accustomed to losers and idiots. And people's attitude is just to complain about it, not to do anything, just complain about them. And that's what go ahead.
I was going to say, what is the name of your book? Name your website again, and how can we get your book?
Well, the book's online as a PDF file. It's the easiest way to get there is just hugequestions.com. That's the only one that's easy to remember, hugequestions.com. And then there's the book and video online. The book is just about 9/11, so most people already know about it by now. It's not really. It's only going to be for people that don't know about it that it will have any value. And this is the other thing I've noticed, is almost everybody now that wants to know already knows about 9/11. It's getting to the point of saturation, practically. But right. there are still some people, it is amazing, there are still some people who don't know about it. They haven't paid that much attention. They only heard the rumors. So to those people, you can just email them the PDF file or the videos. But it is reaching people, finally.
Yes. And your website is Eric Hutschmidt.net, which is
It's that's why I tell people just go to Huge Questions. It's that way you can connect to it anyway, and rather than trying to remember how to spell it. I didn't realize when I picked that name what the computer was asking me. I just said, "How's this for a name?" I said, "Oh, all right." I didn't realize
that's
that was.
that's a good one. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you know, I joined this little book club. Only because it encourages me to read books. I always read factual books, and it encourages me a little bit to read novels. And some novels are relevant to today. And there was a guy in the group named Tim, And he starts talking to this other girl about war. And she's a young girl. She thinks she's an authority. I didn't talk to her. But he makes this statement, well, if I was going to go to war, I would definitely want to go to war against someone as stupid as Adolf Hitler. And he's gone, and this guy hates hillbillies. He probably hates blacks. But that was his statement about Adolf Hitler. And I said to him, you know what I find remarkable about Adolf Hitler is that he created his own currency, which was against the world banking system, and that's who we're having our problem with today, and he was against communism. And this guy said nothing. He just looked at me. It was like I was speaking in a foreign language.
Well, you probably never heard what you're... I mean, the idea of a banking system probably didn't... Most people don't know what you're talking about when you even mention it with Kennedy. You know, they don't know anything about the banking system. And so I think that's going to throw almost everybody off once you start bringing that issue up.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, that's where I was at. I didn't even know that I couldn't make the connection between the Jewish-Soviet spies that McCarthy got and Russia, because I thought Russia kicked out the Jews. I didn't know that the people that killed the Tsar and were controlling Russia and caused the Russian Revolution were the Jews. And I finally, within the last, 6 months or so, had enough proof to make that connection. So you're right. I was the same way they were back in 2006. What's the connection? And no one would lay it out for me. I had to research it and do it myself.
Oh.
So the Jews want to destroy the Catholic Church. They blame it on the Jesuits. They blame it on the Masonic Temple. They blame it on everybody but the Jews. They try to say, it's the Ashkenazi, it's the Zionists. My sister and I, we just finally started saying the Jews. And any Jew that is innocent but closes ranks around the bad ones, they're just as guilty.
So you didn't know about the Jewish involvement in the overthrow of the Tsars of Russia?
No.
You know what's really interesting that you bring this up today? Somebody anonymously sent me some information. He was looking at Alex Jones's wife, Violet. And he's looking into her family, and he's saying he discovered her whole family is Jewish, and he sent me an article that one of her, uncle or something, he had just written in January of 2009 this little article, a little short article, The Jewish Role in History Reevaluated, and his parents are from Russia, and he's talking how the Jews helped get rid of the Tsars. He has an article about it. He's Jewish. He's part of Violet Jones' relatives, of Alex Jones. And see, he admits it. What's interesting is a lot of the information that we don't know, the Jews are talking about it. They're writing about it. You just don't know it. You just don't know. You're not aware of what they're saying. Most people were never aware. Even the Protocols of Zion, without the Internet, you wouldn't have even known about that. I wouldn't have known about
it. No.
But they actually, if you look at what they have been saying, now we can do this. See, now we can look at what they've been saying. Because of some of this stuff they're publishing, I don't think they meant it for us to see. Some of it I don't think we were supposed to be seeing. But now we can just look at all this. It's like this guy who anonymously decided, who is this Alex Jones and who is his wife? Because he'd heard all the rumors. You know, about how, you know, I don't trust him and other people don't trust him. So he's looking, and through the Internet, he can find her whole family now, and he can see they're all Jewish. It looks like every single one of them. And then you can even see, look at some of the articles these people have written. You know, they're even admitting in their own articles. Oh, yeah, we, my friends, the Jews, helped get rid of the Russians, you know, take over the Russian nation, basically. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we're discovering, is there... now that we can see what's going on, we can look through history real easily now, and we can see their involvement in the world wars, how they set up the world wars, how they're lying about the Holocaust, and on and on and on, the Apollo moon landing, everything. You know,
let me read you something that guy Michael Schneider wrote when he was investigating. He said, my colleagues told me that we should just forget this because it happened 34 years ago. This is about the USS Liberty. I replied that I could not recall anyone saying that the Israelis should have just forgotten Adolf Eichmann because World War II had been long since over. To that, I received no response. You see, when people make good analogies,
they're just blown off. Well, that's right. You see, that's what they're even saying about 9/11. You'll hear them saying, oh, that was years ago. Drop it. Drop it. How come we don't drop the Holocaust nonsense? And the thing that's really bad is the Holocaust is a lie, and we're supposed to promote it. 9/11 really did happen. You know, people, what they've been getting away with, if you look at their techniques, it's intimidation. They're like a gang. They're like a crude gang. They depend upon intimidation, fear, bribery, blackmail. They could never achieve what they're doing if they had to depend upon their talent, you know, or their intelligence. They don't have it. They couldn't attract people to this movement of theirs if they had to depend on legitimate methods, you see. And this is what's going to cause them to fail eventually, is that now that they've lost their secrecy, you know, they are now being, we can see what they are, and they're just a gang of thieves and hoodlums and drunks and perverts. Yeah, and this is all they are. This is what the network is. And some people who have been tricked into joining it, I'm sure a lot of people were tricked. Like, you look at the Kennedy assassination. I'll bet you a lot of people were tricked into helping that one. They didn't quite grasp what they're doing. But nowadays, I think it's going to be harder for them to do that. It would be very hard for them to set up something like that today, because more people would be looking on the internet and realizing, you know, this, what am I joining here? Who are these people really? And what's their real goal? And so that's why I think they're having trouble doing another big 9/11 attack. They haven't really done much of anything in the past few years, except little things like lighting these fires. Look at the one, there's one in South Carolina right now. And I'll bet you they're involved in that. They seem to be lighting fires. Yeah. They're causing some plane crashes. They kill a few individuals. But they can't do anything big any longer. And I think it's because there are too many people now that when they try to get the people to help out, people are thinking, help out with what? Who are these people?
Right.
And so they don't have the trust anymore. They don't have that blind trust that they had decades ago, when you could tell somebody in the military, here, do this, and he would just do it. And you could just tell a policeman, here, we're doing this, and they'd just say, okay, boss. Now I think even the police and military are starting to think, wait a minute, what's the point of this? Who's behind this? You know, most of them, they may not be doing it yet, but more and more of them are doing it. More and more people are starting to become suspicious. And that's what we need. We need them to realize they can't just give blind trust anymore to people. It's too dangerous. You have to look at who's giving these orders. What are their goals? Who are they working for?
Yes, I totally agree with you. The best thing they did to me was expose me to the national media. It was the best. And everything that I ever saw that was about me was excellent. I mean, people out in California, all through the United States saw it. So, and my sister was on CNN September 6th before I left the department. I couldn't be on it. And Rick Sanchez on CNN tried to do a hatchet job of her. He looked like a fool because it was live, and they couldn't chop it up and make it into something that it wasn't. So after that, they did what they did to Ron Paul. They just ignored us.
Yeah, that's all they can do. That's what they've been doing to me. They've gotten to the point now, I think they're getting scared. They realize that they can't just stop us. You see, even if you look at Christopher Bolin, whether people want to believe that he's alive and safe and hiding, or whether he's kidnapped, they tried to get rid of him by setting up this crazy arrest. They thought somehow that by getting rid of this guy, that's going to help them. But it doesn't matter even if they did get rid of them. Even if they can get rid of me, even if I die tomorrow of natural causes, it's not going to help them, because the information is what's killing them, not me personally. It's the information that's circulating around the internet, and it's the ability of ordinary people to look through history now, look at current events, and see what's really happening. It's like that guy I just told you, he sent me this information about Alex Jones, his wife. He just looked on the internet. You don't need any money any longer. You don't need any fancy tools from the library or from the government. You don't need any help. You can just look on your own. Individuals anywhere in the world can just look on their own, do their own research. And see, this is what's going to get them. And they can, and this is why their techniques don't work. They can kill all of us in North America, and they're still going to suffer because they've got Japan, Europe, China, and all these other nations.
Right.
They can't
right.
get rid of everybody.
Right. Well, with my videos, some of them are on our website, www.thepatriotgames.net, but almost all of them are on liveleak.com. Well, my friend Lisa, who I've known 20-some years, totally believes in me, did 2 or 3 months' worth of ride-alongs, understands what policing is all about, and I know you have a good concept of what it's about. Mostly it's ridiculous. But there are moments of shock, you know, where you have to, all your training kicks in and you do the right thing. But she has a brother who lives out in California, and she's been telling him to watch my videos. He was doing what everybody is doing. No, she's anti-Semitic. Finally, she forced him to watch the videos by pushing him into a corner. So I guess about a day ago, he decided to watch them, and he has a friend from Iraq, who's over here. So he's actually more, of course, an Iraqi than an American. Well, he listened to them also. They were shocked. Her brother was surprised because we did a great job. I do a lot of research. But the Iraqi was shocked because Americans were saying what they'd been saying for a long time. And that's what we had when we were in YouTube, Muslims writing to us saying, thank you for saying this, you're very brave. And I said to my sister, if a Muslim saying we're brave, shouldn't we be like worried? And then, you know, that scares me a little bit. And then after that, you know, I lost my job, so yeah, but they didn't try. No black tried to hurt me, no Cuban, no illegal, no Mexican, just the Jews.
Oh, that's
the only ones out.
Right. Yeah. That's right. See, that's the other pattern you start noticing. Who is it that complains about us? Yeah, I don't see any black people complaining about me. I don't see any Mexicans or Chinese or Japanese. It's only Jews.
Yeah.
And the so this is the other pattern that you start noticing after a while. Because initially, when I first got into 9/11, I didn't even, how would I know who did it? You know, I didn't know. I knew it. I could see that somehow there were Jews involved, but I thought they were just one of many groups, mainly Americans.
Right.
You see, you don't initially think it's Israel unless you already know their tricks, which I wasn't that aware of at the time. But you start noticing who's complaining the most, and what are they complaining about? And what are they trying to steer you away from? It's always the same issue. It's always this. Right. Yeah, it's always protect Israel. And so you start noticing the pattern after a while.
Yes. You know, I met a guy, I think it was right when I left the department. He was an author, Edward Abood, he's Catholic, but of Lebanese descent. And he wrote a book called The Invisible Enemy. Excellent, excellent book. All kinds of references where he got his info. It was awesome. After I read it, my first question was, did you like this? And he said, yes. It was just awesome. Well, the Jews were out to get him. They'd been out to get him for a long time. Very well educated, had a publishing company. And in the end, unfortunately, since his family abandoned him, they were scared because the Jews would get them because he wrote this book, and they even made him use a different spelling of his name. He changed his name to Edward Richardson. But in the end, in October of 07, he killed himself. You know, he had been reduced to a rooming house, and it was just too much for him. There was no one on his side. I felt bad, very, very bad, because I had just met him. So that's what the Jews do. They tore down his website many times. He had to go to a cafe or to the he had to go to the library to listen to our shows. And he spent over 8 hours at my house a few days before he killed himself watching all of our videos. And he was very, very proud because one of our videos about Jewish propaganda, a lot of the information came from his book. So we learn as we go. And even if, like my friend Lisa's brother just found out, the main thing is you find out and you start asking questions and you start going on the internet, like you said, and finding out what we're saying is true. Because you and I are just regular Americans that came into this very late in the game.
Yeah, it doesn't take anything. But, you know, the suicides, I think, a lot of these suicides, I don't think they're suicides at all. I think they're murders.
They are.
Because, you know, the hardest thing for a person to do is to kill himself. People don't realize this. It's not easy. This is why if you look at old people when they're dying, a lot of them want to die, but they can't. They're not going to kill themselves. They can't. That's why you have people like Kevorkian saying, look, I'll help you do it. It's so difficult to kill yourself unless you really are suffering from a mental illness, in which case, you know, that's different. But then those are not the people doing it. You know, these are like your friend or whoever he was. He may have been killed. A lot of these suicides.
That's the thing. His sister called because she was calling on his cell phone to tell the people that were his friends that he had died. And she wasn't there when it happened. Allegedly, his mother was there and a neighbor. His name is Edward Abboud, A-B-B-O-U-D. It happened in Cleveland. He was from Columbus, Ohio. It happened in Cleveland. He lived for a while that day, and then he died. I can't find out anything about it. So if there's anyone from Cleveland I know that can find out a death record, a report, anything, I want to know how this man died.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of the suicides are not really, and even drug overdoses. See, if you look at, here's another one that's interesting. You know, somebody who also looks at my website sent me his article about it when he looked into Jim Morrison, the death of Jim Morrison, that musician of the Doors.
Yes.
You see, he looked into that because he was a musician. He used to listen to the Doors all the time, and he's wondering, well, how did this guy die? And you look at Jim Morrison. This is interesting about the USS Liberty attack. Jim Morrison's father was, I think he was in the Navy, and he was trying to, I don't think he was going along with this cover-up. Now think about this. His father is in the Navy, a high-level officer, who did not want to go along with protecting Israel. Now his son's a musician and a little bit wild and uncontrollable, like a lot of musicians are, and his son dies mysteriously. If you look at the article's on my website if you're interested, but you look at the death of that guy, Jim Morrison, and it doesn't look at all like a real death. There was no autopsy, there's no photo of the body, he dies, and everything's mysterious, and it looks like he was killed. And they're trying to blame it on a heroin overdose, but he didn't like heroin. He never took heroin, he was just an alcoholic.
Right.
And
right.
You see, what it looks like, there was a lot of murders, a lot of deaths, they won't call them murders, of musicians and entertainers. And this seems to be how the Jews are controlling Hollywood and the entertainment business. And they may have done this to help keep his father in the Navy, to keep his mouth shut, to keep him under control. You see, look at the USS Liberty, and look at, there were not everybody in our military wanted to cover that up. And look at what happened to the ones that didn't. Like this guy, his son dies mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Patton, General Patton, his death is questionable. I think MacArthur, his death is questionable. These are very bright men. They knew what was going on.
Yeah, see, Patton's another one.
Yes.
But you
tell you what, Eric, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Real quick, we're going to take about a quick 3-minute break, and then we're going to come right back, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about how the Jews shut people up and what to look for. Don't go away, America. We'll be right back. Welcome back, America. And just so you know that my sister Barbie isn't on the show tonight, and we have a special guest, Eric Hufschmidt, who has written a book, and he has a website, erichufschmidt.net. And what we're talking right now with Eric about is we don't really want to scare Americans into thinking that they speak up, something's going to happen to them. But what we want them to do is research and know what we're saying is true. Is that right?
Well, yeah, speaking up, if everybody starts speaking up, then that's even better. See, it's only when one person does it that it's like that shooting game at the carnivals where one thing pops up and you shoot it. Then you wait for the next to pop up. That's what the Jews have been doing for centuries. They, one person pops up and they get them. Then another person pops up. If a bunch of people just stop acting like cowards and just start talking, then it's over with. I mean, this is a small group of jerks and freaks. They're not that people think they're powerful. It's like a teenage gang. All you have to do is stand up to them. All you have to do is realize they're not that powerful. We can deal with this. It's that this fear. People have this natural fear of doing nothing. They think that the best policy is to hide. But you can see that this policy is failing. They've been hiding from 9/11 for years, and now look at the country. It's getting worse and worse. Nothing's improving about the country. Even the flooding that happens every year in the springtime isn't improving anything. No, I mean, that's not improving. We're still getting the flooding. The cities aren't improving. Nothing's improving. Hiding from problems does not make them go away. And this is what people have to realize. We have to face the problems. Yes. And if you're brave, you don't just wave a gun around. You face the problems. You deal with them. Right. And we can deal with them. They're not beyond our abilities. But I think that's why one of the messages you get from people like Alex Jones, of course, is that we have to live in fear because they're so powerful and they're so mysterious and we can't stop them. But we can. We can. You have to just talk. You don't have to make a public display about it. Just talk once in a while to people. Just bring the issue up when you're around your friends or your relatives. And if when they ignore you, just stop it. But bring it up once in a while. And they get used to it.
Yeah. Now, I know you're an expert on 9/11. What about the world banking system? Can you explain how that happened?
Well, that one I didn't know much about at all before 9/11 either. See, that's another issue I didn't realize, I didn't know anything about. I didn't know the Federal Reserve wasn't part of our federal government. It was but if you look at the Money Masters, the only one I've seen that's really good is the Money Masters video. It gives a good history of all the ones I've seen. That's the best. It doesn't really talk about who these people are. You know, it mentions the Rothschilds and all, but you don't really get the idea that it's a Jewish conspiracy, but it gives an excellent history of how these families are taking over the banking system. And what's interesting is then when I did look a little bit into it, the Rothschilds, I don't think they just popped up on their own. I think if you look back even at that Knights Templar movement from 1,000 years ago, I think that's when some of this banking system started getting going. I even wrote an article about the Knights Templar. If you look at 1,000 years ago or so, they started getting into the banking system in, I think it was France, and, you know, they were trying to do the Crusades down in Palestine. And I looked a little into that, and that's when it looks like this group started getting into banking and getting rich. And they thought they had gotten rid of it by burning a few of these people. That was their method of execution back then. They burned them in a fire, a few of them. But that didn't get rid of them. They just got rid of the five or so they burned. The rest of them kept the money and kept the information about the banking, you know, how to do it and how to do the interest. They kept it going, and they kept going in this banking system. And I think the Rothschilds, my speculation is the Rothschilds were getting information and assistance from this network that had been in existence for centuries. And that's how they became so big. You know, they were successful in it, but they got information and help from other people, other Jews.
Right. Well, you know, we had Sally Castillo on a show on the other radio station, and he was the man that was instrumental. He was a DEA agent, instrumental in exposing Oliver North, who was guilty. And he said what they did was the money was supposed to go to the Contras. So what our government did was sell cocaine to California. They were supposed to, and this is not any good, but they were supposed to give the money to the Contras, which were the rebels that were fighting down there. They kept the money. There were these people that were making off with millions and millions and millions of dollars and putting it away, and nobody could ever get to it. So it's very similar to what you're talking about. We thought that we were down there for a legitimate reason. And our government took in so much cocaine into California that this one guy, Reggie, or I remember what his name was, started the idea of crack. And that's where the crack outburst came. And that's why we have so much crack. And it was all because of our government. And you know, also on the banking, Iraq, Iran, Venezuela, and there's some other countries do not have the world banking system, the Jewish world banking system, and those are the countries that the United States is making war with.
Yeah, I know, it's an interesting coincidence. But you know, when you mentioned the government bringing in the cocaine, there was that writer of the, San Jose Mercury? What was that guy who died? Oh, I forget. Gary something? Gary Webb. Oh. Gary Webb. Now, he wrote about this, he published it in the, Gary Webb, yeah, he published his article about how the CIA, I think it was the CIA, bringing in cocaine, and it got published, nobody cared. Went in the mainstream media. Now, at the time this went out, everyone would have thought, wow, look at this, exposes the FBI, I mean the CIA's involvement in cocaine. But now we would realize, wait a minute, if this gets published in the Jewish media, there has to be something wrong here. So anyway, that's what I would say now. But at the time, you know, when he came out with this, nobody thought anything strange. And meanwhile, he's apparently working on more of this story, and then he kills himself by shooting himself in the head twice. Now, what I think has happened is that as he continued to look into the drug issue, he started realizing it's not the CIA, it's the Jews. Yes. Within the government, within the CIA, or within the other government, and they're putting the blame on Americans. And I think that is when they decided, uh-oh, this guy's getting too close, he's getting too close to what's really happening, get rid of him. And so that's why he commits suicide twice. Now, what's interesting is that, another interesting twist to that story, is that when Jimmy Walter had that 9/11 tour in Europe with me and some other people, did you know about this tour we went on? Jimmy Walter was Jimmy Walter inherited some money from his father, quite a bit of money, and over $1 million. I don't know exactly what, but he inherited a lot of money. When he saw my book and video, he eventually decided, you know, we got to get this information out. So he started to advertise it at first and realized that these advertisements aren't doing a very good job. So then he decided to hold some meetings in Europe, because he figured, well, in Europe they'll be more receptive. So he arranged for these meetings in Europe. I think there were 9 of them altogether in different nations. And anyway, one of the people that came along that he invited, he was real naive, so he was just letting people come along that, you know, were basically volunteering almost. And one of them was Lisa Pease, who does investigations of the JFK assassination. And of course, while she's there, you know, she's with us, and she's trying to convince me. Well, it was after the trip that she did this. She tries to convince me that Gary Webb actually only shot himself in the head once, and then when his relatives came home and discovered that he was lying on the floor, he wasn't really dead, and they finished him off with the second shot. That's her explanation. She's a JFK assassination investigator. The point I'm trying to make is, if you look at the people in this so-called truth movement, she's in the JFK truth movement, and when she found out I was accusing Gary Webb of being murdered, she contacts me and tries to convince me, oh no, he wasn't, it wasn't that way at all, it was his parents, his family members just killed him because he was in his vegetable state. I mean, this is what I get that people don't see. You see, this when I say to people, the truth movement's full of infiltrators, what they don't see is what I see. I see this all the time. I am always being contacted by phone, email, and in person by these people, like Lisa Pease, and they're trying to convince me of the stupidest things sometimes. And so when I tell people, you know, you got to be careful, these people, that what they don't realize is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this stuff. People telling me that, oh, his family decided to kill him. I mean, what are the chances of that happening? Would you, when you walked, if you walked in and saw your sister laying on the floor with a, you know, a gun nearby, would you say, oh, she looks like she's in the vegetable state. Let me just pull the trigger a second time just to make sure she's dead. Is that what you would do?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Well, right. None of us would ever commit suicide.
If you were to see your sister lying on the floor with blood coming out, you'd think, well, let's call the hospital quick, ambulance.
What?
To see if we can save her, right?
Correct.
You wouldn't say, oh, let me get the, where's the gun? Let me have the gun. Let me just make sure she's dead. I mean, come on, this is insane. And yet she's a JFK assassination investigator. The whole network, if you look at who she works with, and then she tries to tell me Mike Rupert can be trusted. Mike Rupert says he puts on his website he was also trying to expose the CIA's involvement in cocaine dealing. And he made a big deal about standing up to that CIA chief, forgot his name now. There was a meeting in Los Angeles, mostly black people from Los Angeles, and Mike Rupert stands up like the big hero and accuses the CIA of dealing drugs and trying to make all these black people trust him. You see, this is what they'll do. They stand up like a wolf in sheep's clothing, trying to make us believe that they're our heroes, going to save us. And really what they're doing is they're shifting the blame to somebody else and fooling us into trusting them, and they lead us in the wrong direction. They lead us to the CIA or the military industrial establishment or the Luciferian controllers, which brings us nowhere. You see, they're taking us away from the true culprit here.
Let me ask you a question, and you may not want to answer this, but this is what I know about Mark Weber. Edison's granddaughter inherited a lot of money, and when she died, she wrote in her will that she would leave it to the Institute to, as long as they would further the agenda of finding out what the Jews were doing. And some guy named Miller and a guy named, I forget the other guy's name, Cody or something, they were running the Institute. Allegedly, somebody made off with a bunch of money, and I believe Mark Weber stepped in at that point in 1995, and now Mark Weber is getting persecuted. Do you have any idea what's really going on there?
Well, Willis Cardo was involved in that, too. Is that the name you're thinking of, Cardo?
Yes, Cardo.
Yeah, see, I don't know a lot of the history of that, but when I look at it and when you listen to what Christopher Bolin says about it, he doesn't know a lot either because he wasn't working with them at the time. But what it looks like to me is all of them are lying to us, all of them, without exception. And see, what Christopher Bolin said about the American Free Press, when he first got involved, it wasn't the American Free Press. It was called the Spotlight. And it was growing and growing in popularity. And it was getting more and more. The circulation was building. And I think he said it was up to like 300,000. I don't remember the exact number. It was growing and growing. And then he said that they had this mysterious incident or where they get sued and the whole place is destroyed and they have to start over as the American Free Press, and he's thinking, well, that's too bad, it's something really strange. But what he eventually decided is this whole setup, it's a lie. They had created the Spotlight. It's like when you put fish, I mean, you're trying to fish, you put bait on the hook in order to lure people over to you so that you can then feed them some false information. The Spotlight was one of those newspapers. It was being run by these Zionist Jews, and they're trying to lead all the people who are aware of what's going on over to their camp. And they started realizing, oh my God, this thing is growing in popularity. We gotta stop it. And so they destroyed it, making it look like, oh, the Jews did it to us, those nasty Jews. And then they start over with a littler newspaper, the American Free Press. And they deliberately did things to keep it small. This is the other thing that made Bolin suspicious. They wouldn't really try to help it grow. They would deliberately do stupid things. And see, what it was is this time they decided, don't put too much bait on that hook. It brings too many people. We don't want too much exposure. We just want enough. And so what I think is the IHR, the Institute for Historical Review, that may have been the same type of a thing. Maybe it got started for a real reason by somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the John Birch Society. It may have been started by a real person and then got infiltrated and taken over. But I don't know how it got started, but you look at the fight that went on, it all seems phony. And you look at who's involved. Both sides are being dishonest today about everything. Mm-hmm. About 9/11, about the Apollo moon landing, about everything. You have two sides. Each one is lying to us. Your only conclusion is they're all liars. They're all criminals. They're just, it could be that they're all working together, but you don't realize it. Because all we see is the fight.
Right. They want to keep the status quo going because the way the system is set up now, the Jews and a lot of the Gentiles that back them are getting very, very wealthy. But I'll tell you, my sister was married to a Jewish guy for 9 years, and that's how I found out about the Jewish personality. I met him in, let's see, April maybe of 91, and by July of 91, I was out of there because he's a creep. He double talked. Uh-oh, I don't know if the audio is gone again, but we're still recording. That's the main thing. That's how I learned about Jews. I still didn't put it all together, but now it's all coming together. But thank God I found out about him. And what happened in the end was, in 81, I stopped talking to my sister because I was interfering with her marriage to him. So I didn't talk to her for 7 years until her two best friends, who lived in the same house as she did with him, because he was starting to get abusive and she was afraid of him. And in May of 88, she was ready to move out, her and her two friends. And her two friends, who, just like you said, didn't do cocaine, died of a massive overdose of cocaine, 6 times the amount to kill someone. And the Coral Springs Police Department said it was an accidental overdose. And I found out, when I did a paper for science and technology at college, that I talked to a forensic toxicologist that said that was 6 times the amount to kill someone. And I said, well, how did they ingest it? He said they didn't ingest it. He said they also had equal amounts of barbiturate, Tylenol, acetaminophen, Valium. They had, that would have rendered them in an altered state. And then whoever did it would have injected it through the rectum, and they would have had massive seizures. Well, she had trauma to her face. She died in bed. But his lividity showed he didn't die in bed, but they ended up in bed. And my sister was the one that found him. So that I don't think that Bobby did it. I don't think the Jew did it, but we know who he had do it. It was someone that Rick actually knew. So that's what they do. And I think the purpose was that when her two friends died, that she would come running back to Bobby, and she didn't.
Oh, I
and
see that. That's what you think the motive was. Well, you see, you know another thing that makes you wonder about the quality of some people. You know that Anna Nicole Smith who was super rich because she married that rich old man. Remember that Anna Nicole Smith? You look at the men pursuing her for years. Like her lawyer, for years, some of the best years of his life. He's in his 20s, I think, or early 30s. You know, this is your prime time of life, and he's pursuing this woman. Did he really love her? Or was he just thinking of money? Money. I got to get that money. Planning for her death, planning for her son's death. I mean, think about this. What kind of a personality is that? A person who is living only as a way, his years of his life, his best years of his life, trying to become married to someone so that he can then kill her and kill her son and then get the money. I mean, there's a lot of weird people in this world. They will marry you for your money. They will abuse you for anything, things that you couldn't imagine. And a lot of people, they're always thinking people are like themselves, and they think, this couldn't be because I would never behave like that. But you can't look at people that way. You have to look at what they're actually doing.
Yes.
And that's why when 9/11 first occurred, even me, when I first heard my father tell me that the Kennedy was killed, I wrote this in my book. In fact, I put a little bit about this. When my dad first told me this, because my dad did not believe the official story. He didn't believe that Oswald killed Kennedy. And when he told me this, I thought, oh, come on. The FBI and the police, they wouldn't go along with this. And the school teachers, they wouldn't be teaching us that Oswald did it. If it wasn't true, they have too much morality. A history teacher would never do that. And it didn't occur to me because that's the way I am. I'm not going to do it. If I was a history teacher, I wouldn't do it. If I was a policeman, I wouldn't want to put up with it. But that's me. And I'm assuming other people, I was assuming at that time other people were like me, and they're not. You know, most people are like little frightened rabbits. If you know, when they see something happen, they just run and hide. You know, they won't stand up to it.
Right, because they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to be labeled anti-Semitic. Is your father still alive?
Yeah. Yeah, the trouble is he's only, I mean, he's aware of certain things. He was aware of the USS Liberty. I didn't even know this. Because it's the weirdest thing. He was aware of it. But you see, then he knew of some of those things, but he didn't know about some of the later ones. He doesn't know how to use a computer. He doesn't really want to learn. So his information comes from the TV and the magazine. So he's got a warped view, and you can see how the propaganda works. He knows the USS Liberty was attacked, but he doesn't quite understand why. And he knows Kennedy was killed, but he assumes it was people like the CIA or the military industrial establishment, because he gets his information from the media, you see?
Right.
And see, this is where, and the media is always pushing you away from Israel and away from Zionism. He doesn't really know much about Zionism. The word doesn't really mean much, because you don't get much of that on the TV or the magazines. They don't realize that Israel is in control of our media.
Yes, my feeling is Israel has to be dismantled totally.
Yeah, it has to.
Yes, it has to. Not just, well, we have to learn to live with it, and Israel, I mean, Palestine needs to have a state. No, Israel needs to go.
If any other nation were to behave like them, imagine the outcry. Imagine if Canada were to attack a ship, an unarmed ship. Imagine if Canada were to blow up our buildings with people inside them. Or imagine Canada starting world wars and faking holocausts.
Right.
People wouldn't be saying, "Oh, well, they're nice people. Let's just leave them alone."
Right. Right. It is truly amazing, Eric. We're going to have to come to an end on this, because I do want to mention to the people Christopher Bolin, who you have mentioned, is going to be on our show next week on the 30th, and I really look forward to having him on. I know that you respect him a lot.
Why, this is definite?
He's saying so.
Well, that'll be interesting.
So. It should be very interesting. I want to find out, you know, what's going on in his life, what happened. You know, I sent an email to him today saying, people want to know what's going on with you. Are you safe? I don't believe he's in this country. I don't believe he is. But, yeah, he's going to call in next week, and that should be a really, really good show. So we're going to post this audio. It's going to be a little chopped up because we've got the beginning with TalkShoe, and then we have mine and we have Keith. But this has been a real learning experience, and I'm sorry that it happened with you, but we are going to get the audio up, and we're going to get it out to people, because I wanted to have you on for 7 weeks, and I'm so glad that I did.
Yeah, it took a while, didn't it? All right, well,
it took a while.
Yeah, maybe next time we'll have a less chopped up interview.
Right. We're definitely going to have you on again. It might be...
I know you got other guests. Some other time.
Yeah, for about 3 more weeks, and then I'm going to be busy, but I will get you on again as soon as we get a handle on this.
Sure.
So I want to thank all the listeners that have been listening. I want to thank Eric Huffsmith also very much, and thanks for the people that came into the chat. So, good night, America. We will talk to you very soon again next Thursday.
This show was brought to you by the Patriot.